Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Ten things. As we were praying with the team, they said, oh, you can do 15 because it's 15 years. A 15-point sermon. Maybe it says three. So I have, as I was reflecting on just the magnificence of God's church, and we're starting a whole series on magnificence of God's origins and why God's world is so incredible and what it means for us today. But today we're going to look at our magnificent church. Not just our magnificent church, the magnificent church. The church is magnificent. The church has had its ups and downs, sure, over the years. The church has trials and all kinds of things, but the church is still God's method of telling people about him. It's method number one. It's the primary, it's the highest call, it's the best way. That's why Ro and I got caught up in a call of church. But we tried doing missionary stuff. We tried teaching and education. It's the church. We fell in love with the church. It's the local, everyday church. And so as I started exploring the scriptures, I thought, why am I so excited about the church after all these years? Why aren't I browned off or cynical or, you know, why am I still dreaming about God's church? Why do I look forward to the next 30 years of the church? Maybe not so much for me. But I feel like I'm just getting underway in the church. I feel like I've just discovered the love of Jesus in the church. Why all the effort? People here have given, served, sacrificed, heartache, tears. Why all that effort? Guys on the stage, the musicians, it's so hard sometimes, isn't it? Why kids? Why youth? Why C3 Cares? Why all this effort and energy? I'm telling you. There is nothing more magnificent than the church on planet Earth. And here's 10 reasons why. And I'm not going to take a long, long time on this. I just want to give you 10 rapid-fire reasons why the church is magnificent and why we do this thing. Number one, the church is precious to Jesus. Did you know that? The church is so precious. In Acts 20, it says that to pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock, speaking to pastors, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Wow, the church is costly. The church costs so much to Jesus, he bought it with his own blood, with his own life. It is so significant to Jesus. So therefore, we love the church as he loved it. It costs Jesus something. So we value things that are worth something, don't we? I'm driving down the street in my old car and I see a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or something, I think that costs something, you know. That is, that people would actually value this more than they would value my car. I don't know why, but apparently they do. Because when something is costly, when something is worth something, we put a higher value on it, right? The church, there's nothing more costly than the blood of Jesus. Church was purchased with the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we value and we love the church because Jesus has such a high calling of his church. Number two, did you know the church will overcome evil? It will. When I look around the world right now, I see a fair bit of evil. I see a fair bit of not just kind of evil people doing stuff, but residual creation kind of stuff from the fall, you know, so floods and earthquakes and volcanoes and the things that we go, why is that happening? It's happened because of the fall way, way back, and it's set our world on this kind of a little bit off balance. But tell you what, the church will overcome evil. How's this? When Jesus asks Simon, he says, who do you say I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And verse 18, it says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We got the keys to the kingdom of God. Is that good? I mean, how awesome is that? Like when I'm given keys to something, keys to my house, I have ownership over that. I got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What I stomp out here on earth, it's stomped out in heaven. What I permit here on earth, it's permitted in heaven. And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. There will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day when all evil is subdued and there will be only good on the face of the earth. I look forward to that day. But who's it given to? The church. Not other organizations. The church. That's why the church. Therefore, that's why we pray. That's why we give. That's why we take the authority given to us. Because we will overcome evil. Gives us confidence, hey? Number three. I love this one. The church is the dwelling place of the Spirit. This is the place where the Holy Spirit lives. Look at this, Ephesians 2:19. You're no longer strangers and aliens. That's you. That's us. You're not a stranger, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple. See, it's like we are bricks in a building. We're being made together. We're joined together. We're brought from somewhere else into being the building of God. But that's not all. We're not just kind of this building. It says, in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Oh, that's powerful. We are the place where God lives. Where does God live on planet Earth? He lives in people, in his church. He doesn't live in the temples anymore. He lives in us. And when we gather together, it's like this temple. That's why when we worship this morning, oh, a sense of God's presence together, the place of the dwelling of God. Therefore, we recognize the high call of each other's lives. Together, we are part of the body of Christ built together. And that's the fourth one. We're not just a building, we're the body. We're the body of Christ. Romans 12:5 says, though we many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Literally bodies. We are actually joined together. Did you know that? It's not just some organization that you kind of come and go and, you actually join together in baptism. God joins people into his body. So our arms and our feet are literally his. And it also says that we're members of one another. We belong to each other. I know that sounds weird and scary sometimes, but we're not just some loose affiliation. The church is the body of Christ, where Christ is our head. And we follow all that he asks us to do, but we do it together. And we value each other highly. Scriptures talk about, therefore, we value the fingers and the toes and the bits of our bodies that all make it work. We're not all the same. But together, I tell you, we are a whole and functioning body equipped for the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing like being joined together. Therefore, we highly value each other. We love each other. Because we're not just associates at work, not just colleagues. We're members of each other, part of the body of Christ. Therefore, each of us is highly significant. Halfway. Number five. How are we going? The church upholds the truth. We live in a world that needs truth right now. We live in a world of drifting ideas and all kinds of things. But I tell you, there is one truth, and it's wrapped up in this book, the Bible. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Sister Paul, Timothy, Paul's writing to Timothy saying, look, I might be late. Look, you know, I might be held up. But in the meantime, the church is a pillar and buttress of the truth. In other words, it upholds truth. It's like columns which truth can stand on steadfastly. So when you come across the church, you come across people living their lives according to the truth of God. Not just silly ideas or wafty thoughts. These are core things from God himself, that the truth of God lives inside of us. Therefore, we have something to stand on. We've got something solid and something fixed. We are not people who drift around, but we have a core calling and core idea of what we come about. It's the truth. No other institution upholds the truth like the church. It's a high calling. Number six, the church gathers and includes. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. See that? Once you were just ordinary, not God's people, but now you are God's people. Once you were distant, now you've been brought near. Once you were disconnected, now you are connected. God has brought each person here into the church and connected them. And now we gather and we include. It says, once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Therefore, we get alongside God's gathering. Do you know that God gathers? He just continues to gather because he loves all of his children. But so many are disconnected from him. And so God is continually gathering, drawing people into himself. He gives people their own free will. He doesn't force people. But he continually makes it possible for people to come close, to draw near. Isn't that exciting? So therefore, we join in him and we value people. We value people who are disconnected and we help God to bring them near. We value people who are different from us and we bring them in. Gather, gather, gather. That's what the church does. I love it. The church, number seven, is the bride of Christ, the beloved. I know it sounds weird, gents, but somehow we're the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Paul is saying the highest call for a husband is to give yourself for your wife. That's what love really is. But he flicks it around and says, that's actually Christ and the church. Christ's leadership, Christ's love of the church is to give and to serve and to bless. Now, how contradictory was that in that age? When to rule and to lead was to dominate and to force and coerce. But Jesus comes along, completely upturns that. He says, no, I'm among you as one who serves. I'm not the greatest. I'm the one here who serves. Jesus led a life of beautiful servanthood so that he'd demonstrate what it's like to show true love. And in that, he says, we're the bride of Christ. And there's going to be a wedding party soon. Did you know that? Have a look at the end of Revelation. Write yourself into the story. There's going to be a party. When Jesus comes back and deals with all evil, there's going to be a wedding feast. And you and I will be part of that as the church. So if the church is the bride of Christ, how are we to view the church? We love the church. Passionately. I'm in the church, not just this church, the church. We always speak highly of other churches. We always uphold other churches. We might not understand them. People do different things, different ways. We're probably pretty strange for some people. But it doesn't matter. We're all the church, all different expressions of the body of Christ. So therefore, we uphold and we love the church, the entire church worldwide. And when I see Orthodox Christians in Ukraine on their knees praying, it's my brother and my sister there. I'm part of them. not just people over there. I'm connected. They're part of the church. It's amazing. So we love and we uphold the church. Number eight, I promise to keep moving. The church expresses God. Ooh, he does quite powerfully. Thanks, guys. Ready for the next one? The church expresses God's wisdom to the heavenly realms. Oh, now, this is deep. I've got 1 minute to explain this one. The church expresses God's wisdom to the heavenly realms. I'll read the scripture. Ephesians 3:9. The church is to bring to light everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, see that? Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Ah, that is so deep. But what it's saying is God wants to display to all of creation, angels, demons, people on the planet, on earth, the wisdom of God. How would you do that? Here's the church. I wouldn't have done that because there's people in church and people get things wrong. But somehow, this is through looking at the church, God's displaying the wisdom of himself to the entire cosmos. Amazing. Somehow, there's great wisdom in the church that expresses incredible things. Therefore, we love the wisdom of God. And we know that it's not just to help us do life here. There's a greater, higher purpose in the church to express the wisdom of God to the cosmos. Have a read of that scripture. Dig in. Two more. The church displays the love of Jesus to the world. The church displays the love of Jesus to the world. John 17, the glory that you've given me, Jesus is praying to his Father before he dies. The glory you've given me, I have given to them that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. That's a deep, deep verse. But saying we become so connected and so full of love for each other that the world goes, man, they're different. They like each other. They care for each other. There's something about these Christians that get together. You see, through the church, we see the love of Jesus and the people go, I like these people. They're quirky. They're weird. But there's something about them. It's the church that expresses the love of Jesus to the world. Last one. The most audacious. The church has the greatest mission on the planet and the authority to fulfill it. The church has the greatest mission on the planet and the authority to fulfill it. I know there's great organizations in our world. There's great companies, there's great nonprofits, there's great people, there's great schools, there's great nurses, there's great education, there's all kinds of things, but the church is given the greatest mission on the planet. Do you want to hear it? Matthew 28:18. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Phenomenal sending off. Phenomenal calling. We are part of that calling right there. The church is to go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, bringing them into the church, and teaching them all that Jesus commanded. That is the greatest. It will bring the greatest fruit to the planet. The message of Jesus right there. And so you and I are caught up in this. Caught up, whether willingly or we just found ourselves here. But actually, this is the next 15 years, people. This is where we're going. It's to take this message to our city and beyond, to our region, to places that we've already got a footprint. But it's all wrapped up in here, both initially helping people to understand Jesus, but very much about teaching people. That's what the Life Build Academy is about. It's the second part of this. Helping people understand, teaching people about how to do life well. There you go. Did you catch them? 10 reasons to love the church. 10 reasons to get excited about the church. 10 reasons to celebrate all that God has really just started to do amongst us. We're so young. 15 years. We're just teenagers, right? We don't know anything. But we do. We do. We do. Just imagine what we'll be like when we're 20, 25, 50. Imagine how much wisdom we'll have when we're 75 and 80. And how much energy. I better finish. Can I get the musos up on the stage? We're going to sing that last song. Hey, Rain It All, the last bit of that tag was amazing. So while they're up here, I'd love you to stand because we're just going to celebrate and thank God. And I just want to encourage you to take a moment to thank God for His church. Whether the journey has been smooth for you, or bumpy, whether it's been full of questions, or whether it's been just, you know, a joyous ride. Wherever you've come to now, you're here because there's something about the church that draws you. There's something about what Jesus is doing in His people that you can't get away from, and you're just drawn. You keep coming. I want to take a moment. I want to ask you to commit yourself to the church. If that's this church here, fabulous. If you're visiting from another church, that's great. Commit to that church. If you're online and you're just not even sure, I don't even have a church, come find a church. Find a church. Sow into a church. Commit into a church because you become part of the church of Jesus Christ. And you become part of the greatest mission on the planet. And in that mission, you will find life. You will find meaning. As you seek first God's kingdom, you'll find that all these things will be added to you. As you step out and pursue God's calling, you will find the power of God comes. He provides for you. He makes a way for you. He equips you. And He gives you everything you need for life and godliness as you start to pursue the church. I tell you, there's no greater calling. Take a moment, just in your heart, to thank Jesus for His church. Thank Jesus for our little corner on it here in Bathurst 2020. Thank Jesus for the calling that He's bringing you into. Your next step. Your next place. He never leaves us just where we are. He always says, come follow me. He's always opening up something new. I think even right now, people who are feeling anew, it's like there's a sense of something opening up. Something new. What is that for you? God loves new things. He makes all things new. This morning, I just believe there's new dreams, there's new visions, new call, new determinations. The greatest new that you can make is to simply start following Jesus, to become His disciple. And if you're not on that journey yet, today's the day to jump in. If you haven't found that journey of being captivated by Christ and giving your life to Him, tell you that's where you start. And today is a day like that. Is anyone here who wants to jump on that journey today? Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you and help you step into the call of God in your life. Because once you get wrapped up in Jesus, the church comes. Anyone? Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Take it your moment to jump in. If you've been disconnected from Jesus, if you feel like you've been away from Him, today's a day to be reconnected to Jesus in His house. Is anyone? feel like you've disconnected from Jesus. But today you want to go, I'm back. I'm back. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Invite you back into God's house. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's important that we just take some time, because it's the greatest thing that matters the most. Jesus, I want to pray a blessing on each person here. Blessing. Blessing of new, blessing of excitement, blessing of gratitude. And thank you for your church. Thank you, Jesus, that we're part of something incredible. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.